this will be where the babies start. We'll have them all in one room while they're young, and then we have separate rooms for when they get older.
It's around 9 p.m. in West Harrison, New York, an exclusive suburb of New York City. Michael Stevenson is giving me a tour of his large and stately home. He and his wife, Gina, will be traveling to Ethiopia in 4 days. They're going to pick up their children, who are just 10 months old.
This is the Jack and Jill bath, and we'll probably get some help, and they'll probably stay on the other bedroom, and then later maybe we'll put two of the boys in one room and the girl in the other room.
That's right. Michael and Gina Stevenson are adopting triplets. Actually, the children are quadruplets. Their biological mother died shortly after giving birth to a fourth child who did not survive. It's not an uncommon story in Ethiopia, where the infant and maternal mortality rates are among the highest in the world. Gina Stevenson says that's part of the reason she and her husband looked to Africa when they made the decision to adopt.
Michael, I guess for at least 8 years, had sponsored a child through the Christian Children's Fund, a boy in Kenya who's around 14 now, and we were very excited, you know, to get his letters, and he's very grateful for the support. So it was logical when we wanted to look to do more that it fit both needs, humanitarian, but also to help us expand our family.
Last year, Americans adopted 190 children from Ethiopia. This year, it's predicted that between 400 and 500 Ethiopian children will find homes in the United States. Right now, international adoptions are freely permitted in just 3 African countries: Ethiopia, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. Kenya recently loosened its adoption laws, making foreign adoptions possible. But prospective parents are required to spend 3 months living with the children in Kenya before an adoption can be approved, and so many American couples look elsewhere on the continent. Cheryl Carter Schatz, founder of the nonprofit group Americans for African Adoptions, says organizations like hers have pushed authorities to legalize foreign adoptions. And as a result, the number of American adoptions from African countries has been steadily growing.
People who adopt from Africa seem to fall into a couple of different categories. If they have no children, if they're a young couple, they usually cannot have children, and they're worried about birth families coming back in the United States. The other kind of individual who adopts is usually a much older couple who already have children, but have decided there are already so many children in the world that they will look for parts of the world where it's the neediest, which is, in our estimation, is Africa.
Ms. Carter-Schott says older couples tend to adopt the older children, or the children who are ill or handicapped. The overwhelming majority of Americans who adopt from Africa are white, as are the majority of Americans who adopt in general. That's because white couples tend to be better off financially. But that's not the case with Michael and Gina Stevenson, both of whom have high-paying jobs, and both of whom are African-American. Gina Stevenson says she and her husband have been reading a lot about the history and culture of Ethiopia because they want their children to know where they came from. She says it's a privilege they will have that she and her husband, as the descendants of slaves, did not.
As an African American, we know that our ancestors came from Africa, but we don't know exactly where, and I feel very cut off, you know, from that part of our history, our ancestry, where other immigrant groups know exactly where their families came from.
And so, too, will Paulos, Petros, and Nia Michelle Stevenson, who just celebrated their first Christmas as Ethiopian Americans. I'm Maura Farrelly.